We've saved you a seat. This is Train Station 8, a video game music podcast. I'm your host, Brian, and this is episode 35, Magnificent Desolation. We're finishing up our World of Warcraft series this week with the final expansion that just came out last week, Warlords of Draenor. Today we're going to be discussing Magnificent Desolation, and joining me for that discussion is my brother and co-host, Steven.
Hi.
Hi, I'm really hungry.
Well, let's use that edge in your personality that's coming out right now, just like Russell Brower did with his musicians when he forced them to when angry, capture the spirit of the Draenor expansion pack.
I'm recording this one and I'm agitated because I'm hungry and also want to play Super Smash Bros. Because it comes out today when we're recording.
Yes,
And I'm waiting for it to arrive. And yeah, so I really don't want to be here, but I'm going to be professional.
Well, you know
anyway.
What? You know who didn't want to be there? Everyone on Draenor. So this is all going to work out.
All right, fair enough. So this is pretty exciting. We're finally finishing up our, like, what, 5 week?
This is the reason we were doing this in the first place. This is the climax.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to talk about Warlords of Draenor. I was worried it was going to take us long enough to get through this that the next expansion was going to be out. But it is Blizzard, so.
I was worried we weren't going to be able to get any time in the game because of the queues.
Those were really awful, yes.
Yeah, that was a rough patch, but Blizzard got over that. We got over that.
A rough patch. You're so
a rough patch, man, that's hilarious. This is a comedy music show.
Yeah, exactly. We should rename it. Train Station 8, a video game and comedy podcast.
I think the only real hurdle for that is the fact that we're not very funny most of the time.
You know, that's not too hard to get past. Just edit out everything we're not funny during, and it'll be like 3 minutes of awesome quips.
A 45-second podcast. So we're doing. Warlords of Draenor has come out. But before we start talking about that, maybe we should kind of go over what we've been listening to recently other than that.
Whoa! I was just thinking the same thing. We're obviously brothers.
We are. We're not twins, though, despite appearances, apparently.
Despite what everyone thinks.
Despite what every other person on this planet
well,
has
no,
ever
they
said.
Used to think we're twins. Now they always think I'm older.
Yeah, you're right. I need to grow some facial hair.
So speaking of facial hair, what have you been listening to?
My favorite band, The Beards, has put out... I think that's actually a band, but
I'm going to look that up. Keep going, though.
Okay, what have I been listening to? I should have written this down. I was listening
to... Australian comedy folk rock band, which formed in 2007.
Oh, great.
The group play music based on the virtues of having a beard.
Yeah, I think I heard about that on The Instance, actually.
Yeah, I think...
Which is a...
Sounds familiar.
A video game or a World of Warcraft podcast, so that's also thematic.
All right, so there you go. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so what have I been listening to? Man, it's been a real hodgepodge recently. I was listening to Sonic Adventure in the car, and that was highly enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I have any... glowing revelatory comments on that, since we've both listened to it dozens of times.
Yeah.
I've been continuing to download OC Remix songs as they come out. Our good friend Christoph Blondel collaborated with Scaredism, I believe, to do a Metal Gear Solid mix. Metal Gear Solid 2, actually.
Nice. The theme?
No.
Did it go do-do-do, da-da-do-do-do?
Oh, I thought you meant... Oh, no, yes. I was thinking of the third game's theme.
No.
No. You're right. Metal Gear Solid 2,
Snakey,
it did have that in it. It was that. It was very, very good.
Cool.
Yeah,
when I ask you if it's the theme of the game, I'm not asking you if it's the theme of a different game.
Yeah, I
just
get
for
confused.
Reference.
Metal Gear Solid is confusing to me. I don't know. I don't know if I have much else to talk about beyond that.
All right.
How about you?
Sampling a lot of different music, partially for testing out these new headphones I've been buying. Really good quality. I'm very happy with them. For
That's
people
great.
Interested, they are... I believe they're Sennheiser Game 1 is what they're called. They're primarily created for gaming, but they also have really nice balanced bass for just music listening and really anything audio.
Yeah.
I also picked up that. Also picked up Sennheiser, I believe it's Pro 280, and those are for a studio recording headset that's very clear and very sharp and great for editing music, but doesn't make music sound that great. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Will from the Mercado Bros for recommending those for me, because I was looking for some studio recording headphones, and he said that's what he and Carl use, and they seem excellent for that job. I just also wanted something to listen to stuff with, and Sennheiser really seems to be like the premier audio manufacturer for headphones.
Most of your setup is all thanks to the Mercado Bros, and then
OA and Level 99. Yeah, OA and him had some ideas.
OA from Overclock University.
Yeah, basically it's just me pinning down people who come on the show and asking them advice, and they're very helpful.
Yes.
Turns out, if you want to make music, making friends with a ton of other people who make music is a helpful way to go.
Yeah, I know. I've also noticed that this goes the same way for podcasts.
Yeah, it's almost like that's how life works.
However, no matter how many people recommend me to stop using Audacity, I'm not going to because I'm lazy.
Reaper is real good.
I know.
I recommend it.
I'm going to look into something else.
I'm trying to figure out how I found out about Reaper. I don't actually remember that one.
Was it?
It was a long time ago.
Search? Yeah.
Yeah. Know. Anyway, so I've been sampling a lot of stuff. I also listened to, speaking of Carl Brueggemann, I've been listening to Another Day in Dreamland.
Oh, his Kirby album.
His Kirby tribute album he released a few weeks back. I never got around to finishing it before.
That's great. You went all the way through?
Yes, I did. Have you finished it?
I have.
What do you think?
I loved it. I thought that I truly could mistake this for a Kirby soundtrack.
Yeah, definitely parts of it.
Mm-hmm. I honestly think, and I'm not just saying this because he's my friend and fellow podcaster, but I honestly think some of those songs could have been in a Kirby game in the past.
Yeah.
And that's a big compliment as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. That is totally my opinion as well. I mean, some sound more Kirby than others. Some sound more original and more like him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they all sound, they go through the Carl filter before they're spit out in the world, but
exactly.
It's a pretty good mix. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to finishing Child of the Chozo as well. Interestingly, with that album, I'm not nearly as interested in the first half as I am the second. Like, Prime being the person who, you know, skipped retro games that we kind of were, Metroid Prime is the game that really has a lot of memories attached for me. So I'm really curious how Will will emulate that music more than Super Metroid.
You know, using an NES or an SNES chip sound.
Which is mostly what they do. So it seems like it's really branching out for them, trying something to emulate that GameCube sound.
Yeah. Man, those guys do a lot of things.
They do a lot of things. Including run a great podcast, which you should check out. It's called the Super Mercado Bros. And if you haven't heard about them, they've been on our show a few times, and they basically, on their show, it's a different format than ours. They play like 17 songs normally and just have a couple minutes in between each one talking about it. And they're really more about exposing and explaining music from a learned background of both being musicians. As far as I can tell, like ever since they were kids, they just grew up in a musical household and have been composing pretty much all their lives. So they have a lot of knowledge about it, and they have a great upbeat take on video game music, and it's great. So
and
check them out.
We were talking to them about this recently, but they're kind of, while at the same time are direct opposite, they're also the closest thing to our podcast that there is, because, you know, it's two brothers talking about video game music.
Right.
On the other hand, we slow it down, talk about a single song for the whole episode, and then it's all kind of about bringing guests on and just having conversations. Theirs is a more high-speed, focused, like, educated, I would even say, look at a bunch of different songs with a lot of structure and rarely have guests. So subscribe to both of these podcasts, and that'll really, I think that'll really do it for you.
Definitely. I've also been listening to the Glitch Mob. Did you ever listen to much of their stuff?
Glitch Mob. Let me see if it's in my library. That'll tell me. I don't see it. What's Glitch Mob?
Okay, so they are kind of electronic, a little bit of glitch, though not actually that glitchy for that being their name. Kind of dance, dubstepy kind of stuff. Super duper good, though. I highly recommend the... I've only listened to one of their albums. I believe it is their newest. It's called Love, Death, Immortality.
I remember this now.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I listened to it while playing Hearthstone.
I don't know why that's funny to me. Glitch is not the genre of choice I would use for the Hearthstone in, but
it does a good job of pumping you up, and I was winning a lot, so it was pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Priest is a very fun deck, by the way.
I don't know.
No, Priest is an amazing deck.
I'm just biased against Priests because they get really, really mad when they heal themselves.
Right. Well, what's awesome about Priest, and this is so wildly off topic, but we'll go back in a second, is they're basically the card advantage class, where they have those Northshire Clerics where, you know, whenever you heal something, you can draw. And because they can kind of heal themselves and sit back, they don't have to worry about aggression, and they have a lot of great board clears, so you can just sit back and be super efficient and just draw so many more cards than your opponent and constantly have more cards in your hand and just feel like you're on top of the game constantly. And it is super fun. And I was just winning and winning and winning until I did a mirror match against another priest, and then it was like a 20-turn game where he finally won, but it was fantastic. Super fun.
Most of my wins last 20 turns. It takes a
long time. Well, that was a loss, actually. My wins were typically much quicker. I kept getting, like, the perfect opening hands. Anyway, I felt really bad for some of my opponents. There was one point where I had a Northshire Cleric out, and what happened? Oh, yes. He mind-controlled it. I mind-controlled it back. He mind-controlled it back. So the same minion went back and forth from our field like 3 different times.
And if you know anything about Hearthstone, that's just nuts. Hilarious story.
Exactly. Wow, that you make it sound very lame.
Sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, that was kind of just to disguise it. I don't have a lot of other stuff to talk about that I've been listening to.
I know I've been listening to music. I just can't remember what music. Very strange.
Apparently it's brainwashing music.
I suppose so. I suppose, actually, I haven't been listening to that much music.
Okay, that was a 180.
Well, I was thinking I must have been because I've been driving, but I haven't been driving that much. And beyond that, I've been kind of focused on tasks that are kind of involved, so I'm not listening to music or I'm editing something, you know what I mean? So, anyway... That's what I got. That's what you got. Let's move on.
All right. So our background with the game is what we're going to jump into here now before we play the song. The game in question is World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor. We can't have an extensive background with this because it came out about a week ago.
Yeah. So.
And half of the time it hasn't been available to play. But what's your experience been so far?
Well, let's back it up a bit and talk about BlizzCon. When this launched, I believe, or not launched, but the trailer did.
When it was announced.
When it was announced, that's the word I was looking for. I believe.
When it launched into the public consciousness.
Exactly. When Chris Metzen got on a stage and said,
BlizzCon!
And then we were all like, yay! I believe that we were hyped a little bit when they announced this. We are a big fan of the Draenic race, if that's a word.
Mm-hmm. The Draenei.
Yes, the Draenei. We also really like Draenor, the place where they come from, their home planet, which is in another, not really another dimension, but another planet far away from Azeroth. And so I think that Pandaria's kind of had a mixed and confused reaction from the audience. While this was much more of a straightforward, we're getting back to Warcraft. This is a story of war and crafting, ironically.
So the basic setup here, for people who are mildly familiar with Warcraft but haven't necessarily came up, is Draenor is where you went through the Dark Portal in the Burning Crusade, which was the first expansion to World of Warcraft. So it was like the first other world they went to. It's where the orcs are from. It was featured in the expansion to Warcraft 2, etc. And now what's happening in Warlords of Draenor is you're going back to Draenor, but you're going back in time. So it's before it was destroyed in Warcraft 2 and became the Outland, which is what you see in the Burning Crusade, and it's back when the orcs were living there. So basically, your current day Azeroth is going back in time like 35 years to before the orcs ever came to Azeroth. And you're seeing all of the leaders, you're seeing like the fathers of the current Warcraft characters. existing as characters in this other timeline you're now going to.
And if you're anything like me, playing through the Burning Crusade expansion going to Outland, you were constantly thinking, I wonder what this looked like before it was all destroyed by the Burning Legion. I wonder what these people were like in their heyday.
Turns out the textures were much higher quality.
Yeah, man. The skybox looks better too. Mandranor is a very, 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 very pretty game. Pretty is the wrong word. A very...
Savagely
pretty. Savage is the right word. Savage world. Yeah. No, it looks and sounds stunning. And that's really fortunate since we're going to talk about the music. Mm-hmm. And along with all of those announcements about things that were going to be in it, like garrisons where you can build up your own compound of troops to take it against the Iron Horde, and all the new zones that were going to be in there, they released a small selection of music. And I believe that they were all directed by the music director, Russell Brower. That's just a guess, but he's behind a lot of the music of Draenor and a lot of the music of World of Warcraft in general. One of those songs that we heard on the teaser website for Warlords of Draenor was the one we have chosen today, Magnificent Desolation. And we listened to it at the same time. We were both like saying, hey, let's go listen to this new music. And we were completely floored by this song. Stunned, and we could not wait to hear it in game. And I think that is why we chose it. Also, because it's one of the only songs we've heard from the game so far. Because this is
Jumping into you know how much we've played it, we've made it through about both. Have you finished the first zone yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, what level are you?
Early 90s.
That's very specific.
Like 90. Two or three. 92.
All right, yeah. The game goes through levels 90 through 100. I am level 94, I believe, in partway through the second zone.
Let me just say I finished up the quest with Durotan's brother, and okay. I won't give any spoilers, and I also leveled up my entire garrison to garrison level 2 and unlocked a bunch of cool stuff.
Okay, yeah. So we're both playing on the Horde. So the first zone is Frostfire Ridge. That's actually where the song is from. It plays when you get there, and it often plays around this place. So give some background on what Frostfire Ridge is and just what you think of it so far.
Frostfire Ridge is a
ridge.
A ridge with frost and occasionally fire. That is all accurate, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the orcs don't mess around with their names.
But it's a sharp, angular world full of tragedy and snow. Its winds are constantly pounding against the walls, and there are small orcish villages huddled up with their weapons and their wars and their honor to keep them warm at night.
Huddled up with their honor. Yep.
And it's just a colossally beautiful place. It really reminds me of what Blizzard was trying to achieve with my... perhaps my least favorite expansion, as we talked about before, Wrath of the Lich King, but just done so much better. It also reminds me a bit, surprise, surprise, of Darksiders 2,
which takes
a million and a half. Oh, yeah, yeah, Skyrim, which takes all kinds of cues from Warcraft, that game.
Darksiders, yeah.
That's kind of the feeling. You're going back and interacting with some of the most important orcs in Warcraft history. And oddly, I don't think they do a great job of trying to keep you up to speed with what's going on.
No.
Maybe that's just me. I know quite a bit about Warcraft lore, I think, compared to your average player, but even I'm like, wait, okay, what's this clan again? Why are we here? But it doesn't really matter that much because it's so epic and exciting all the time. But,
yeah, they could have done a better job with the storytelling for sure, so far at least.
But regardless of the storytelling methods, the atmosphere and the feelings you have when pounding through the snow on your Hearthsteed that you got for free by playing Hearthstone.
So the interesting thing about Warcraft in general is because it's such a dated engine, it has a very hard time telling linear stories. Really where it's always shown in terms of world building and storytelling, in my opinion, is just how it crafts environments. And the environments still look fantastic today. That is tech that has managed to be improved upon and works incredibly well, even in modern contexts. And this is another environment where you won't, like, hear the song and say, oh man, the story about Durotan is so emotional with this song. In my opinion, as much as you'll remember, that environment was brought to life and synthesized in this song.
I would agree. I think that you can't just look at the story beat by beat, line by line, and say, oh, this is so memorable and so well written. What I do is I go into this world and how it looks and how it feels and how it sounds and meeting these larger-than-life, awesome-looking characters and going on these quests and fighting certain enemies. It all comes together to give you a general feeling where I totally care about the orcs and their struggle and this land that they live in because I'm there right. Going on an adventure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That makes a lot of sense.
And this is the song that captures, for me, the entire expansion so far and this specific zone.
Yeah, so without further ado, let's go ahead and play Magnificent Desolation from World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor, composed, we believe, by Russell Brower.
You have received 4 email messages.
Man, you have a slightly elaborate notification sound effect. Every time you get anywhere.
That's really funny. All right. That was Magnificent Distillation from World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor, composed, we believe, by Jake Kaufman. Well, we like to believe.
Yeah, I would love to believe that so
but
much.
But it is probably Russell Brower. But what if Russell Brower is Jake Kaufman?
We've already established that Jake Kaufman is everyone.
Yeah. He is me, he is you.
But man,
he's even Grant Kirkhope.
He's especially Grant Kirkhope.
So about that song.
Yeah. What?
If you still don't like World of Warcraft music, then we have failed. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We tried.
Those were 8 notes to rend the soul and bear it to the
harsh environment. That's what's so interesting about that song is I think World of Warcraft and be it Russell Brower or other people has gotten incredibly good at taking simple, short melodies and bringing a lot of meaning out of them.
There was so much tragedy and power and resolution in that song, but the only parts that really mattered were those 8 notes played over and over again. That's so impressive.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic because basically it is just that it has a bit of intro at the beginning and it hints at that melody, but doesn't fully play it. And that goes on for maybe about a minute. And then pretty much the whole song from that point on is just that rising, melody. I think something that keeps that interesting is the melody is rising, but the chords behind it are falling.
Right. I completely agree. It sounds like it's a struggle somehow to take another step and to keep on breathing.
Yeah. So it's like that contrast of rising hope, but falling circumstances of that, trying to survive in such a harsh land in such a harsh time, which is what I really get from it.
It very much represents the orcs, especially this honor-bound clan of Durotan, as a people, because, you know, they're relatively simple. They wear animal hides and live in tents and huts,
right.
They are not a complex race like we talked about with the Blood Elves or even the Night Elves.
So for background of these specific orcs, this is home of the Frostwolf clan. And they are, they're the clan that Thrall came from. And anyone who knows Warcraft knows, you know, Thrall is the leader of the original leader of the Horde, like the ultimate orc. Referred to by many as Green Jesus. which, I mean, kind of sums up his role in the game.
Yes.
So this is his home. This is where his father, was basically the leader of this clan, Durotan. And they are pretty much the only orc clan in Draenor that is resisting this Iron Tide, which is the new horde that's being created out of all these barbaric, clans to take over Azeroth.
Right.
And so they live in the frozen peaks of Frostfire Ridge, with their frost wolves and basically bond to these wolves as their companions and their guides and live this primitive existence in the snow. And this is kind of their theme song, I find. Theme song of their land and of them.
I almost found it surprising that they wanted to kind cast such a direct light on this part of Warcraft lore after having A, gone to Draenor before, and then B, having gone to,
Northrend?
Northrend.
Yeah,
we've already seen
to do it again.
This stuff. And yet, I was kind of skeptical about this whole expansion. Not because I didn't think it sounded awesome, but because I didn't think it sounded original. It kind of sounded like it was retreading some of the best waters we've ever swam in, but, you know, haven't we seen Savage Orcs before? Haven't Savage Orcs kind of been half of the player experience since the beginning of the game?
Yeah, exactly. That was also a concern. And I think what's interesting about it is I think this expansion really shows what World of Warcraft can do when they want to laser focus on one slice of their world.
Yes.
Because
very good.
Orcs have always just, you know, been a, you know, it's part of World of Warcraft. It wasn't really even a part of Draenor. That was all Blood Elves and Draenei.
or the original Draenor, Burning Crusade. It's a slice of Cataclysm with what's going on with Garrus. It's a slice of Pandaria again with the Siege of Orgrimmar and all that. But they've never been able to just laser focus on the orcs alone. And that's what this expansion gives them the opportunity to do.
I get the sensation that the whole team, especially, you know, creative leader man Chris Medson,
mm-hmm.
really, really wanted to do this. Like, really.
I think it's also maybe smart to get people caring about this again because the movie's taking place in this time period.
That's a good point. It's kind of, World of Warcraft is going back to its storytelling roots mm-hmm. in many ways. And because they said, this is what we're going to do, we need to make this feel like its own story worthy of telling. Mm-hmm. Through every facet of this expansion, they are capitalizing on that. As much as they were with Pandaria, I didn't think they could, but mm-hmm. for every moment of peace, tranquility, magic, like bright colors, this expansion is delivering on darkness and tragedy and savage landscapes and bleak colors, but it does not feel boring or unoriginal or un-Warcrafty. It feels very much the opposite. And once again, I tie it back to this song capturing the emotions of all that perfectly. It, like, in between the rising and the falling of those great eight notes, mm-hmm. it all sounds like everything's kind of burning around you, you know? It just sounds...
Well, it sounds like desolation, yeah.
It sounds for sure. Sad, like there's no hope. But then Durotan, the chieftain, says, yes, there is hope, as long as we... I just realized that he's wearing, like, a wolf skin.
You just saw that?
No, I mean, like, I realized what that means.
No, don't you remember his Lords of War?
Oh, that's right. That's his fallen...
It's to never forget that he accidentally killed his wolf in
that's right.
Blood Rage.
I was... Great point. Yeah, I forgot the story of Durotan. The point why he wears the wolf skin is because he accidentally killed his companion and must now wear his skin to remember it every day. So that's the orc mentality.
And well, that's the Frostwolf mentality. Most orcs are pretty savage.
Well...
They're cool with killing.
But all the others do the same thing, like, oh, I had to cut off my hand to free myself, yeah. and so yeah. now everyone has to cut off their hand.
They're pretty intense. Yeah. So what about the song stands out most to you? Any particular section or instrument? I mean, obviously the crescendo is magnificent, to
well,
use a fitting word.
One thing I'll bring up is I'm really glad that at the end they brought in the chorus.
Right, and they didn't even do that for the first crescendo, they waited for the second one.
Yes, I think that was just a good move to keep it fresh and mm-hmm. constantly rising. You can't peak too early. It doesn't go like up in the middle and then kind of down. No, it just keeps going up and then down and up and then down and then up and then a last little settle down.
Yep.
But the choir, the especially male voices, are... is it integral or integral? How do you pronounce that word?
How do I pronounce it, or how should it be pronounced?
Either one.
These are two different answers.
Or either
answers.
One.
I typically say integral, but okay. I don't know if that's correct.
Either way, it's very important mm-hmm. for the stylistic choices of this expansion, I feel. One of my favorite musical moments is in your garrison, where you hear these voices pretty much just doing this work chant. It's
yep.
just like this constant pounding. It just sounds like a bunch of orcs getting to work and raising up giant structures and heading to war.
Right.
And so that's an element that I very much appreciate whenever they put it in.
Yeah, something I really like, which is kind of on the opposite spectrum of that, is more than the strings in this song, or the horns and that sort of thing. I really appreciate, especially near the beginning, where they use, like, woodwind instruments.
Right.
Because I think that gets across the primitiveness and the peace of this culture instead of just the, hey, we're warlike and honorable and noble and majestic. Like, there's also that quiet nature to them.
Yes.
This peaceful life in the mountains that they live. A solitude.
Because there are so many moments of that solitude sadly broken in this expansion.
Right.
You'll see writers dead on their, like, still clutching their wolf companions, or you'll see some, like, someone impaled on a spike when he was just trying to, you know, erect another structure for his clan.
Right.
And it's moments like that that feel like those intermissions in the song where everything is quiet and peaceful, but in the bad way, in the way mm-hmm. that something just shook everything apart.
Yeah. Another interesting note about the music to me is those first, like, two piano chords that are hit, that's straight out of Skyrim. I practically think I'm listening to a Skyrim song.
Yeah, you're right.
It really differentiates from that later on, but I just find it funny how, like, sometimes when it's playing and you look around the snow, you're just like, wait, am I playing Skyrim or is this...
Yeah. I mean, those guys must have taken a bunch of cues from Skyrim. Like, that was such a massive thing.
You have to. I mean, just how the game's structured, it's much more open-ended. There are more side quests. It's more of a Skyrim experience than it was before. I think every RPG has taken some amount of... It's funny how Elder Scrolls has finally been, you know, doing their thing on the side for so long, and now everyone's kind of taking notice of them with this mm-hmm. latest one.
Yeah, that's...
So I don't know what Bethesda's up to now. No Fallout news, no Elder Scrolls news. It's driving me crazy. But anyway, not that I want Fallout. I just want them to finish Fallout so I can play Elder Scrolls
again. Just get through that. We know it's tough.
Elder Scrolls Online, you know, isn't quite doing it.
I remember hearing the song for the first time on that website.
Yes.
And maybe it's just because of the screenshots I had uploaded, but I thought... if I had listened to it more carefully like we are now, I probably wouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
But I thought it was going to take place in Draenor, or... Draenor! Oh,
wow, that was astute!
I had a feeling it could be in Warlords of Draenor. I thought it was going to be a Draenei song. I thought it was going to be like... the sad dirge of their people being destroyed by the orc warlords who have gone on a bloodthirsty savage campaign.
Yeah, I mean the Draenei and the Frostwolves do have a lot in common with each other.
That's a really good point. And kind of aesthetically, it still works for me though, because the image I always had in my mind when hearing these like rising notes was like a great angular, almost alien, like, Draenei structure sticking out of the ground and looming over some landscape.
Yep.
And in Frostfire, there are many huge, angular stones looming over the landscape. So it still right. works for me, which is pretty cool on a personal note.
Yeah, so what do you think is your least favorite thing about this song? Like, is there anything that seems lacking or that you wish was different?
Well, my initial response is no. I love everything. I think
I have one thing. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I'd say maybe it's a little... maybe it's a little predictable to just finish off with horns, orchestra, chorus. Look how drama. Mm-hmm. Maybe it didn't even need that. Maybe it could have been powerful without going all out like that.
Yeah.
But I do love the effect. It's still spine tingling, so.
Yeah, I think this is a song that deserved and needed to go all out. I think that's what really ties it together. I think the only complaint I have is between the two crescendos, the song doesn't really seem to know what to do with itself. Mm-hmm. It kind of like plays at doing something else, but then just jumps back into the chorus. I think it needed a proper bridge section between those to introduce some other element just before going from crescendo to rising crescendo.
I understand what you mean, but in a couple of terms, I think it makes sense that they did it this way. One being, if you're questing, it's very much nice to have that low noise level that could kind of adapt to whatever it is you're doing.
I don't think it needed to be noisy. I just think it's kind of brief, and then it kind of resets suddenly. Like, it never really went anywhere between the two.
And I guess term two is that I actually appreciate the fact that all this song is those eight notes. Like, there isn't a B section that has, like, 17 other notes. No, it's like it will quiet.
Well, I disagree. In the opening, there's like the... Like, they're playing other stuff throughout it, especially for the first minute.
I guess that's... It all just feels like it's...
Like, the first minute is great. I just find the period between the two crescendos are a little odd, and... I mean, I could be convinced that it's good, but it's something that it never quite clicks with me. It kind of just feels like they're having to fill space so they can get back to the melody they actually want to be doing.
They want to play, they want to do that like three times, but they have to have something in between. I get that. It certainly doesn't bother me. It's a small nitpick, but,
It is.
Yeah, maybe they could have done something else with that.
All right. So anything else about the song before we close out here?
I'm going to call up Jordan and, ask him to change his Clans theme song.
Anything else before we close out here?
Well, have you been to any other zones in Draenor yet?
One, and there's an amazing song there that I look forward to you hearing. It's interesting, like, building melody that's very adventurous.
Take on the quest, and I know this is getting kind of specific, so I'll try to put it in broad terms, that takes you to that essentially, like, hub city where it has all kinds of... like profession trainers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you do that early on? Did you fly there?
Yes.
Well, I did that. I didn't realize
I didn't watch the flight though, because I didn't want all of the zones spoiled.
I was kind of the same way. I was so overwhelmed I don't remember a thing.
Hmm.
But it was like switching music, switching color palettes, and it made me realize we are going on and on and on about this one song and how powerful it is, and there's a whole expansion out there to explore.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Also, that the place where all the profession trainers are, it's a hub area, so it's not super interesting in a lot of ways, but they put so much like personality to the races in the different areas. I really enjoy.
And it's huge.
Yeah, it's really huge. Like, you go to the goblins, they have like this big garage there where they're building machines, and you go over to the undead and it's like this swampy forest with mist everywhere. They really put a lot of character into that place.
And speaking about, while we're on this topic, maybe we should kind of say how we like the expansion so far, because, you know, we love how it feels and everything. How are you liking it in general?
I think that it's, as World of Warcraft expansions go, and World of Warcraft is now, it's fantastic. I mean, a lot of the problems I have with World of Warcraft in general are still there. It's super, you know, just ridiculously easy, and doesn't present that many interesting gameplay opportunities, and the engine is really outdated, and some of the, you know, the linear quest design just feels forced. But as World of Warcraft expansions go, and as this kind of questing gameplay goes, they've made so many great strides, and the world building and the music and the environments and the garrisons and all of that are just very, very exciting.
Yeah.
I think they're doing a great job.
It feels like there's so much you could be doing at any given time, you almost can't decide what direction to run off in.
Exactly.
Do you want to sit around and really think about
it? Which is really different from what they were doing for a while, which is just like, take this one path to this quest hub, to this quest hub.
Like, Cataclysm just had like a bunch of encounters. Like, there's this place, and you can go from point A to point B to the end of them. It'll be a fun ride, but totally linear.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job of adding choice in.
I don't think there's any way that it will supersede Pandaria as my favorite expansion. Pandaria spoke to me on a deeper level. I don't think they'll ever reclaim
down.
It. But man, it fits the World of Warcraft better, I'll say that much.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm really loving it, especially with the garrisons. I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so this closes out our World of Warcraft series. Any parting thoughts about this? What do you think about it overall? Should we do something like this again?
I would love to do something like this again, but I would like to bring more guests in next time.
Yeah, I agree. Luckily, you know, we're super into this franchise, and it's a pretty specific franchise. Like, if you go into the video game music community, everyone there is into, say, Nintendo games.
Right.
But Blizzard is an acquired taste. It's kind of its own community in of itself, because it's so time-consuming and kind of almost its own world.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to find other people who are interested in this unless, you know, they worked on the game.
And man, it's really hard to get in touch with Blizzard employees. Really.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very closed system around there. Which I understand, but the other thing, if we were to do something like, I don't know, like a series on Zelda or Mario, we would have a billion guests. So
yes,
absolutely,
so true. But overall, I loved it. I think it worked with just the two of us for the most part, because mm-hmm. it's so important and personal to us. I think we listed some of the greatest songs from the World of Warcraft series, but there are so many beautiful and exciting and cool songs that we
unfortunately finding the music isn't always easiest because they put them in medleys and the soundtracks are very incomplete, but definitely check out, go to YouTube, go to iTunes, wherever you had to go and see this music or play the game if you want. But yeah, let us know what you thought about it too. You can always email us and stuff and we'll give all our contact info at the end of the show.
Yep, and next week we're finally going to break away from World of Warcraft for a long while.
What are we doing? What we have like backlog to catch up on.
Next week, we are going to be talking with our new friend Alyssa about a certain game from the creator of Super Smash Bros. That isn't Super Smash Bros. and I'll just leave you with that. It was a wonderful, wonderful episode, and we're going to have her back again, I'm sure.
All right, that was a really fun episode. And I'm not just saying that because I say that about every episode. That one was really fun.
Yeah, it was especially
like above average. Especially fun, yes. Absolutely. I hadn't even played the game. I have now. It's amazing. But I hadn't when we recorded that episode. Yes. That episode is kind of what led me to play that game. So.
What could it be? You probably know what it is, but what could it be?
All right, so that'll do it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Stephen, for coming.
You're very welcome.
You can find this song, unfortunately, just on YouTube, as far as we know. It is not on the soundtrack, not that I could find.
If it's not there somewhere, I'm going to be really angry.
So just look for Magnificent Desolation. I'm pretty sure it's not on the soundtrack.
Only.
If you want to, or at least not the one that came with the Collector's Edition, which I assume is the only one.
Sometimes they release more later, but you never know.
If you want to write in, you can email us at trainstation8@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at trainstation8. I am on Twitter personally at Lord Meldor, though I don't really actively use it anymore. If you tweet me, I'll probably tweet back. Or Steven at StephenKelly180, and same deal for him. Trainstation 8 is a part of the Whales Are Whales network, where you can find other awesome shows like this with other awesome people like us. Just check out whalesarewhales.com. And that'll do it. Until next week... Steven, say something witty.
For the Horde and also the Alliance, we like them both.
That's Chris Metzen in a nutshell.